Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team. I'm Carla Sones, and I am really excited about today's podcast. One of my favorite economic developers is with us today. And just a quick story, I have been one of those individuals that's been watching this man's career for a little while, and then come to find out over the past year, as we were, you know, made the top 40 or top 50 list for Consultant Connect's top economic developers of the year. He did all these other things. And then lo and behold, we ended up with him in Michigan. So what a win for Michigan, and what an exciting announcement. When they announced that you were coming, our team was thrilled, like just over the moon thrilled about having Quentin Messer Jr. come to Michigan Economic Development Corporation to lead the charge of moving Michigan forward. So really excited to have you here today, Quentin. Thank you. I know you're fast and furious getting to know everything about Michigan, and I'm so excited you took some time out for our listening audience today.
Thank you, Carly. You're always too kind, your entire team at Consultant Connect. Great partners. I'm thrilled to be here in Michigan. I'm having the time of my life. I really am. This has been the best professional experience.
Well, awesome. So let's dive into it, because you've had a lot change since the last time you were on the podcast. You've made some significant moves. You're now a proud Michigander. What inspired you to take this step? I mean, things were going well down in New Orleans. Yeah. What made you kind of take this move?
That's a great question. You know, it's I was incredibly happy in South Louisiana. My family was happy. I'm a native Floridian, so I could drive back to Jacksonville on I-10. It was very easy. But there comes a point in your life, and I think COVID, the racial reckoning, extreme weather, mental health, there are a lot of things that kind of converged as the calendar turned from 2020 to 2021. And I began to say, I think a lot of us began to say, you only live once. Mm-hmm. And when the Michigan opportunity came up, there are three things that were incredibly attractive. One, and you're included in part of this number, some of the best economic developers in the world are on Team Michigan, literally. The local, the region, I could call the role. It is a literally dream team of economic mm-hmm. developers. So whenever you can be a part of a dream team, iron sharpens iron. So that opportunity was fascinating. The second was, you know, economic development, as you know, is all about the product you have. You know, what are you able to storytell, market, expose people? And then when you think about Michigan, you're talking about a tremendous place, rich diversity of people, industries, topography. And if you can be a part of that, why wouldn't you be a part of it? And then the last thing was, maybe a little less tangible, but this notion that we saw the fraying of the civic fabric, and I'm not going to get political here, but there were events over the last 18 months, I think we all can agree upon, that are not America's proudest moment. But despite that, America is still the number one place in the world. And I think economic development at its best brings people together. We may disagree on a lot of other things, but when you think about what does economic growth means, it allows people to have aspirations for their future. Mm-hmm. And in a very real way, Michigan can show the way of how you bring rural, suburban, and urban communities together, make people who are previously invisible visible in the economy of the future, and allow them to have hope that their children and grandchildren will be able to see themselves and realize all their economic development dreams right here in Michigan.
Yeah. And I love how you articulate that. And it gives me goosebumps, because I think we all of us that do economic development it really is about that belief that jobs and having that opportunity to earn money that supports your family and yourself and to have skills is the way of the future. That's how we do solve a lot of complicated issues. It's how we really keep people engaged and invested. And it's really inspiring. So let's talk a little bit, because it's not very often that we get to have a person that is so just widely respected in economic development on the podcast. And I want to hear a little bit more of your own leadership journey. You know, you've been hailed as one of the top economic developers. You're on the, you've spent time on the IEDC board. When you think about your journey, what do you feel like is that strong personal characteristic or those leadership moments that have really been able to help drive you professionally that have made you successful?
Well, you're too kind. I mean, I think part of it is I don't take myself too seriously. And a big reason why I've been afforded the opportunities I have been afforded is because of colleagues. It's all about a team. I mean, one of the things we realize, economic development is a true team sport. It is highly communicative. It is all about making sure everybody sort of rows in the same direction at its best. Mm-hmm. And so I've had great colleagues. I had great colleagues when I started my career at Louisiana Economic Development, great colleagues at New Orleans Business Alliance, and now tremendous colleagues at Michigan Economic Development Corporation, and great local and regional partners like the folks at Southwest Michigan First and Consulting Connect. I could call the roll. I'm talking to you from Ann Arbor with Ann Arbor Spark and their tremendous team, Paul Klecko and Phil Santer and a bunch of other tremendous folks. So I think I don't take myself too seriously. I've had really acute professional disappointment. So I know that all this is fleeting. I don't take any of this seriously. I mean, mm-hmm. somebody could call me tomorrow and say, hey, thanks. It's been fun. And so, you know, I try to kind of approach it like every day is a gift. Every day is a true blessing. And it's part of my, I don't hide, I'm a Christian. So I think it's part of my maturation has been my own faith journey. Did you realize that this is, I'm operating in my purpose. If I operate in my purpose, then you're going to be put in a place in which you can exercise and augment that purpose. And I think that's what's happened for me in economic development. And I think the last thing is, you know, I heard the former CEO of Best Buy had an interesting interview that I heard. I think is it Hubert Joly, a Frenchman. He's written Redemptive Capitalism. He's just a profound thinker. But one of the things I took from him, he said, you know, in leadership, what you can bring is the energy. And I try to sort of, that really stuck with me. And every day I try to say, how can I bring energy and accessibility? Most of my colleagues have all the answers. They have far more answers, far more technical knowledge than I'm going to have. But what I hope to bring is energy for them to actualize all their dreams professionally so that they can just go about doing the work. I take the political hits. I take the, if something goes wrong, it's not my colleague's fault. It is my fault. All those things that are critically important. So I think if there are three things I would say, try to have fun, don't take it seriously, and try to bring the energy and passion.
Yeah, I love that. And I can tell that you kind of have that coaching mentality of like, it's a team sport. We need to communicate and like get everybody moving in the same direction. Obviously having fun all kind of fits in. It makes me wonder, like, how do you maintain that energy? And what, like, do you listen to certain podcasts? Are there certain people that you really, you know, like we all have those people that you're like, man, when I listen to their podcast or I read one of their books or I always follow their quotes because I really admire their leadership or that style just gives me that boost. Who are kind of your top three that you're like, man, I like these like coaches or leaders or.
Yeah, it's a great question. So one, I'm tremendously fond of my pastor, Pastor Mark Anthony Ellis Sr. of United Christian Faith Ministries in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He's a former U.S. Vice President for Sales for Pitney Bowes, who was able to retire at 45 and has devoted his life now to full-time ministry. He did not come from means, and he has a remarkable personal story. So he's just, he has great discernment and great, the things that he said that I can apply to economic development, he talks about how if you pause and allow God to color upon the canvas of your imagination, and that's in economic development, we're charged to be visionaries. We're charged to often ask elected officials, business leaders, and others to step outside of themselves, outside of limited short-term interests, and what is the greater good? How do we create that transformational opportunity for future generations? So he's a favorite right now. And then because I'm a huge sports fan, I look in college football, because I think a lot of economic development you can learn really is about recruitment. And so you got to look at Nick Saban. The guy is a beast. And he just simply gets after it. And his ability to bring talent, coaching talent, and he has to reload every year. People cycle through because he gets so many talent people, they get other opportunities, and he can keep attracting talent. And he's not threatened. I think he has maybe three or four NFL head coaches on his staff right now. And so if you're a young man who's playing football, why wouldn't you go to Alabama? And I also think Saban is doing something, because Alabama is a large state in population. He locks down his states. He gets the five stars. Then he goes to my former state in Louisiana, gets a bunch of five stars. Then he gets quarterbacks in California. So he really understands, I got to win in my backyard. And then once I do that, then I can nationalize. And then two other coaches, Pete Carroll, infectious energy. Pete Carroll, I think maybe one of the oldest coaches in the NFL. You would never know it.
No.
It's just energy, fun. And he makes it happen. And then I think I have to just give props in a different sport, in basketball, Greg Popovich for his San Antonio Spurs. He just, Pop has a distinct vision of what happens. And I would be remiss if I didn't shout out some Michigan-based coaches. I mean, Dan Campbell, the Lions, I'm incredibly optimistic. He's a high-energy guy. He wants to get after it. He has a particular view about what it takes. He's got all ex-players as his coaches, which I think is truly a remarkable statement. And then I think a guy who doesn't get a lot of credit is Dwayne Casey for the Pistons. He's really good at player development. And if you're going to be a great leader, you have to invest and pour into developing your talent. You cannot be nervous that your talent is going to leave. You know, I've heard people sadly say, well, we decided to pass on this person because they were too focused on personal growth and development. What?
Right.
That is exactly the person you want. What are you talking about? And I think Dwayne Casey is doing a tremendous job at the Pistons, and I'm excited about their future.
Yeah, that is so awesome. So one, I'm going to leave you with one last question, because I know you want to get after it there in Ann Arbor today. But I want to ask you, you know, you've been in the profession for a while. It feels like coming out of the pandemic, there's more than ever a need for economic development. A ton of opportunities. I know you see pipelines that are full, really exciting opportunities, but there also feels like there's just this little bit of extra, I wouldn't say pressure, but this need for transparency and this need for those jobs to really be meaningful and for the communities to understand the fabric of what we're doing. How are you, like, what excites you about that kind of, those things meeting, like the crashing of, like, yes, like it's a job, but it's also, you know, going to help make a community better, which it always has. There's just a lot more conversation about that, and sometimes hard conversation. But what excites you about that kind of, like, all crashing together in this last 24 months?
No, I mean, I think there's never been a better time. I think we have an opportunity to do three things as a profession. One, I think we need to redefine what it means to be an economic developer. And I think economic development, if you just focus on the flat unit dimension of jobs and capital X and ribbon cuttings and groundbreakings, I think you're going to miss the point. I think this is an opportunity to really help people. And this really was highlighted during the, we're still in the pandemic, but mm-hmm. when we were deeper in the throes or earlier in the pandemic, we realized this issue of upward economic mobility. And one of the promises of Michigan, the promises of a lot of places across this country, and this is what made America that shining beacon on the hill, was this notion that you could come through hard work and pluck and transform your life in a single generation.
Yep.
There are very few other places in the world that you can do that. And I think what has happened is we discovered, you know, maybe that isn't happening with the frequency as it should, or maybe that gate is getting too narrow. So we now, as economic developers, need to make sure that we're creating jobs that have produced wages that are above Alice levels, that we mm-hmm. make sure that people aren't on benefit cliffs, that we can make sure tangibly have upward mobility. I think the second thing is economic development is ultimately about unleashing creativity and innovation. And I think that goes to entrepreneurship. And I think we need to get back to understanding, yes, we've got to do and compete and for large companies, but every company began as a small company. Now, I think we have to get back to understanding that and seeding our communities, because not everybody wants to have an exit event and go public or be acquired for multiples. And some people want a business that I can see multiple generations.
Yeah.
I think you have a son who is Carl the Fourth.
Yep.
And there are some people who want, I want Carl the Fourth. I have a son, Quentin the Third. Some people want a business that they can give to their son mm-hmm. or give to their daughter. And we need to have responses as an economic development profession for them, as well as those companies that are going to be funded by institutional capital. And I think the last thing that as a profession was we really have to deal with this challenge of inclusivity and do it in such a way that people understand that it is not a zero-sum game. Just because you start talking about gender, racial, sexual orientation, religious or geographic diversity, I'm not taking something from you. I'm adding something to it because, you know, in a state like Michigan, where you have about 30% of the population is a person of color, if you go out there to use it to finally on a football analogy, we won't know how good Jared Goff is as quarterback of the Lions if he went out there with one offensive lineman. Because the opposition is going to play with 11 people. He's only playing with seven. So that's not smart.
Right.
And so I think that if we don't activate all of our human capital, which is ultimately every geography, it's not just Michigan, not just Southwest Michigan first, not just wherever your listeners are, but it's all of us, America, the world, we have to activate our geographies. And the greatest talent in our geography is the people. Mm-hmm. So we have to make economic development deeply personal. Yes, we have to reward risk-taking. Yes, we have to be unapologetically capitalist in my mind. But I think we can find a redemptive measure in capitalism. I think we can always go back to if economic development is going to matter at all, it's because people matter.
Right.
People have to be the unit analysis. How does my daily activity going to affect, in my case, positively the lives of 10 million plus Michiganders?
Right. Yeah. Well, Quentin, thank you so much, because every time I talk to you, I leave, I feel more inspired to do the work that I'm doing. And I hope that the rest of the listening audience, I'm sure that they are grateful for the conversation today, because you have a good way of articulating it and just kind of reigniting that passion in everybody that you talk to. So I'm grateful for your energy, super glad that you're here in Michigan and excited to work alongside you. So thank you for taking time to be on the podcast today.
I'm honored to do it. And I'm happy to do it anytime. This is a tremendously beneficial podcast that's helped me immeasurably.
Awesome. Well, together I will quote you and say, let's get it.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day, Quentin.
Same to you.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.